as soon as they be born, they depart from the womb doing what? Speaking lies. Mm-hmm. So atonement has to be for the babies. And the Lord's been busy in the last few years here in America, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Atoning for all of those babies that are aborted. And they have that wicked governor get up and tell us how it's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Enough to chill your heart.
Yes, it is.
But it's also enough to make you powerful mad.
Yes,
somebody do a trick like that.
Yes,
I called him a bully. I'll call him a bully now. And if you walk up to him with a gun, he'll knuckle right under and get down at your feet and lick your boots. I guarantee you. Because he's a bully. And I'll call the abortionist bullies. That's what I'll call them. I want you to know that I am an independent missionary Baptist preacher.
Amen.
I've been saved by the grace of God, and God somehow, in His infinite wisdom, called me to preach His word.
Yes,
He did. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not, and I know that I'm just a depraved sinner. I'm sort of like the fellow that lived down in Louisiana and lived in this little country town in Louisiana, and he'd been a terribly wicked man. I mean, he had been the epitome of wickedness. And he got down sick. The Lord saved him. And we say the Lord gloriously saved him. Well, that's the way He saved me. It's a glorious salvation. And if He saved you, it was glorious in your life as well. So it's a glorious salvation. But Uncle John got down sick in the bed and was going to die. And the pastor of the Baptist church went over to see him. He walked in the living room and he said, "How's it going with you, brother? How you doing?" And he said, "I'm just nothing at all, just an old sinner, saved by grace. I'm looking forward to my heavenly home." Preacher said, "I thought that was an awful funny way to answer my question, how he was doing." He said, "I thought he'd tell me his illness, his sickness and stuff." So he went back. It seems to me like that I really went back 2 weeks every day to see him. And you walk in and you say, "How is it today, Uncle John?" And he'd say, "Well, I'm just an old sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all."
Amen.
And we're here by His grace and power. My Lord is really a mystery. I don't know how He could take somebody as vile as me and take my sins and cast them into behind His back and even wipe His memory so that I stand complete in Him.
Yes,
isn't that hard to understand?
Yes, sir.
I stand complete. Saved by the grace of God. Redeemed by His power. I'm a local independent missionary Baptist preacher, as I said a while ago. I believe in the premillennial coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe our world has done this decade, going into decadence, to the place that we can't recover as a world. I believe the Lord's going to have to come and make all things new for us one of these days.
Right.
And we're looking for Him when He comes again.
Yes.
And the most glorious experience that you'll ever have, other than when you knew that your sins were gone and the Lord saved you, most glorious thing that can happen in your life is when you hear His voice. There's not a saint of God laying in the bottom of the ocean or burned to ashes because of dying a martyr's death, or a saved person on this earth, but what the thrill of their life will be when that voice sounds. And it'll emanate from glory and cover all the saved, dead and alive, and the dead saints will rise and have a new body.
Amen.
And we'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And we'll have the heavenly garments. We can go to the king's table and sit with Him, right?
Yes, sir.
And feast on His good things. God is good and God has blessed us. I wanted to give two little parts to my message for as long as I preach this morning. I really appreciate it, Brother Don. You're asking me here. And I appreciate the brethren. Boy, I tell you, I love you guys. You know what? One of these days, we're going to feast around the throne.
Amen.
We're going to be there around the throne of God. And I think it will be wonderful to go with him.
Sure.
I preached a meeting here one time. Brother Garth remembers it well, don't you? And I'll tell you, there was shouting all over this little house, wasn't there? Yeah. And we were here for 5 days or 10 days or whatever it was, and God blessed us wonderfully well. So I have a great affinity. Brother Donald and me was talking. I'll tell you the first time I met him, or the first time I knew anything much about him. We'd run out of a speaker over at Alderson.
Yeah.
And Don, had you preached before?
Not a lot of life.
Yeah. Then anyhow, somebody had a subject, and I went to him, and I said, you're a preacher, so you're scheduled to be on the program, whatever it was. He said, me? I said, yeah, you're scheduled to be on there. And he got up and did a fabulous job, of course. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 19. I wanted to preach on the pierced heart of Jesus for a little bit. And then I'm going to the 51st Psalm, so you'll know where we're going there. I hope it's not a shotgun message, and I hope it makes a lot of sense to you, and I hope that God will bless you and give you grace. And certainly bless this old crippled mind of mine. They'll be that I can have good thoughts here. In the Bible says in the 19th chapter of John, beginning with verse number 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation of the body, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was the high day, it was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. The reason for the breaking of the legs is a strong man, it was said, could live for a week or 2 weeks on the cross. If he could hold himself up till he didn't suffocate, it's not the nails and the hands and the feet that kills, but suffocation kills a crucified person. And so they were to go up there and break the legs so they could no longer hold themselves up on the cross, and they would die before the Sabbath day. And then came the soldiers, verse 32, and break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They break not his legs. They fulfilled a prophecy in the Bible, and they didn't know it. That soldier didn't know it. It was fulfilled, right? He fulfilled the promise. Not a bone of him shall be broken.
Yes.
But oh my, the terrible suffering that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
When they took him before the trial, before Pilate and before the other ones, and the sufferings that he did. I'll tell you the truth, I've tried to study the sufferings of Christ. And if there's anything in the world that ever brings me to tears and to a broken spirit, it's to know the suffering of Christ. I don't know what Jesus bore on the cross. But what I do know, it was terrible. And he was doing that for me. For me. For somebody like me who was dying for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Bible said he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And he took my sins and separated them from me as far as the east is from the west. You tell me what that distance is, and I'll tell you how far your sins are separated from you. And then he said, I'll cast your sins behind my back. And he said, I'll remember them no more. God's the only person in the world that can wipe his memory. I can't even wipe my memory of my past sins. Or when I was a kid, when I was growing up. But he did that for me. And he didn't give me a partial salvation. But he saved me all the way.
Amen.
And I'm ready for the call from heaven at any moment. I'm ready to meet him. But it says here, when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already and brake not his legs. that wicked, hateful, despicable soldier from the Roman Empire took a spear and slammed it into his side. But that wound became a very precious wound.
Right.
Thomas had to witness that wound, didn't he?
Right.
You know, because Thomas said, I don't believe he's alive. I don't believe he's alive at all. He said, except I can put my finger in the prints of the nails in his hands and feet and thrust my hand into his side. I won't believe that he died, that he arose again. And in the upper room, when they were meeting together, and Thomas was there, and Jesus said to him, thrust your hand into my side.
Yeah.
Bible says here that they pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Yeah. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
I was a young preacher, just a young preacher just starting out, had an interest in the ministry. The big thing going into Baptist in West Virginia was that the book that Harry Emerson Fosdick wrote, and there he denied the blood atonement. He denied that you would be washed in the blood. He denied that the blood would save you. And the Baptist churches in West Virginia was beginning to adapt that kind of thought. It was a sad day. There was a lot of battles fought. All kinds of battles. And a great man rose up out of that time of distress of the Baptist people. We're here today because we withdrew from that thing, renounced it and called it evil and vile, and cast it aside and said, we're not going to listen to that kind of talk. But gee, how far we've gone from then till now.
Right.
You know, it's alarming and amazing. What keeps the wrath of God from us right now? I don't know. But I'll tell you something. I do know, too. It's God's people and His churches.
Right.
This church is a blessing to Raynell.
Yes.
Raynell is blessed because this church is here.
Amen.
And the same is true wherever you're from. If you have a sound church in your community, we're blessed because of that church being there and the faithful witness to the cause of Christ. And he that beareth record, and his record is true, and he that knoweth that he saith is true, that you might believe. It's always a message of the Bible to me. We're to tell people about their sins.
Right.
Gee,
amen.
I don't know of any cessation of the work of the Lord except you just get discouraged and give up.
Right.
Don't get discouraged and give up.
Right.
Go on. If it's not going well, just stay in there and keep fighting. And it'll finally get well.
Amen.
And God will bless you and help you in your ministry. Don't throw up your hands in despair because God doesn't intend for us. He intends for us to do what He said for us to do.
Yes.
And you go on and do it faithfully. And if you have great success, praise God. And if you don't have great success, still praise God because you're doing the will of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
And the Bible says that not a bone of him shall be broken, and you know the rest of it. Even though Jesus commanded the Spirit to depart, when he went to the cross, they were amazed that he was dead already. They didn't know that he had control of his crucifixion.
Right.
Jesus himself said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again.
Yes.
This commandment have I received from my Father which is in heaven. And so that soldier, I suppose he was vile, I suppose he was wicked, I suppose that he hated the things of God. We're hearing all the time now that Christians are being persecuted all over the world. It's not necessarily Christians. You just name the name, and they'll kill you for it now in this day and time.
Yeah.
But boy, haven't we been blessed here in America.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, we've really had a blessing from God because we've done here what hadn't been done anywhere else in the world. We've brought liberty.
Right.
so that you can believe God, and I can stand up here and preach the great doctrines of Jesus Christ and have the full protection of the laws of the city of Rainier. They'll come here and drag a man out if he wanted to destroy the service and disrupt it. And we had a call one time to come in the church, and he was raising his hand in there, and we kept working with him for a little bit, and finally just dismissed the service and went home. And I saw the state policeman. He was a pretty good friend of mine, and we talked a good bit. I witnessed to him about the Lord, and he said, if that ever happens again, he said, you call me, have somebody to call me, and he said, I'll walk right into the church, and he said, I'll cup him and lead him out with the nose out of the church if he ever disrupts another service for you. But Jesus declared it was done. Have you thought about the word that is finished? You know, if it's finished, you don't do it. There's nothing more to do when it's finished, right?
Amen.
Salvation is so perfect, and forgiveness is so real,
yeah,
that He finished the work on Calvary's cross. And we stand in Him complete. Brother, I tell you, that's hard for me to grasp. I can't hardly understand that at all. And looking at myself and thinking about that kind of thing, but I got to tell you that it's true. He commanded this when He paid the last sin and to lay His last job in this world. He declared it is finished.
Amen.
Nothing more to do.
Right.
And in time He calls you.
Amen.
People tell you, well, what would you do if you lived in a foreign land and there was nobody there to preach? Well, don't you know that my God can raise up a preacher? He doesn't have a bit of trouble. It's not straining on Him and put a preacher in. If He's got an elect child over there somewhere, He's going
to
send a message to him. Amen.
Yes,
He is. Well, men deny His deity even today. But that spear went right into His heart.
Amen.
His heart bled. And B.H. Carroll said, situated around the heart, there's a bag of fluid. That was the water that came out.
Amen.
And you compare that to, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And you compare that water ministered by the blessed Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. Amen.
Amen.
He helps us to know the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And He blesses us so well and gives us great things to enjoy in life. The Bible says, who is a liar? But he that believes that he that denied that Jesus is the Christ. This is he is Antichrist. He is Antichrist against the Father and the Son. And he speaks wrong and he doesn't tell the truth. Pulpits are filled today with unbelieving men. They've never had an experience with God. And you know what? When God moves on your heart, you're going to respond to His Word. And you're going to follow Him. And it may, as I say, it may be a difficult path. And it is difficult.
Right.
And anybody that thinks that pastoring the church is easy, you should try a little while. It's tough. It's tough. You've got a variety of things you have to take care of. And I'll tell you what. They hated His doctrine. And people still hate His doctrine.
Right.
I guarantee you, preacher, y'all are preaching to people that hate the doctrine of the Son of God.
Right.
They would like to remake it. You know, make it over. Do it better. You know, you follow the old paths. You don't try to create a new path. You follow the old paths and live for the Lord. People jeered and tormented Jesus Christ, if you remember. It was no easy thing. When He made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, whereon never man sat. But I'll tell you what, that little donkey loved to have Jesus riding. Yes, He did.
Yes, sir.
He was pleased.
Amen.
I would imagine if you could have saw that little donkey, he'd probably be raising his feet up pretty proud, like. because he was carrying the Son of God
Amen.
In the city of Jerusalem. And he declared himself king. And I can't wait to go with him when he marches up the Jordan Valley River and goes to the eastern gate of the city and declares it open and sets up his throne.
Amen.
What a day.
Yep. Amen.
Those few Jews that escaped the scourge of the Antichrist, he'll go over there and show them his hands and his feet and his riven side. And the Bible says that they will mourn more than they ever mourned in this world, but when he starts leading them out, that there's a shout issues to the throne of God in heaven above, that the earth trembles beneath the shout of those people. I'm like the old Jew down in Richmond, Virginia. Mr. Taylor told me, he said he got to know that Jew, he run a clothing store. And he said that in the community, a church came in and they were singing too loud. So they got a petition up. Maybe you never had a petition got up on you. I've had it on me a few times, but they got a petition up and they took it down to the clothing store and said, here, we'd like you to sign this. And he said, what is it? And he said, get them people removed. And there he said, they're disturbing the rest of the people in Richmond. We'll get them moved. And he said, I'll do no such thing. And they said, well, why? He's right close to your establishment here. He said, I'm not going to do anything like that. If I thought my Messiah was coming, you think them people are getting loud? You should hear aloud how loud I'll get it when Jesus comes again. Now, I believe that's the truth. People deny his power. There are people who say, well, they're too far gone. They can't be saved. That's not true either. He has the power to save.
Right.
And I've seen him save 80-year-old people.
Amen.
And 70-year-old people.
Yep.
God is able.
Right.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Amen.
Well, you know the answer to that as well as I do. They pierced his heart, however. And folks, I tell you, I believe you can pierce his heart tonight, today, by denying his word. Or by walking away from it.
Right.
You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, let me tell you about a king. And you know, a king in the days, early days, and in the days of the Bible, if you got a king, if you was a king over a country, you had absolute power.
Right.
And if you went up to a king and said to him, rebuke him somewhere or another, he could say to his aid, cut his head off, and he would do it once. He had that kind of power. He had the power to do it. Well, there was a king in Jerusalem. There was a king who was raised up that the Bible calls a man after God's own heart. King David, he was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of all kinds of things. And when Nathan the prophet came to him, let me draw you a picture here if I can. How would you like to be Nathan the prophet? Going to an absolute sovereign king. David had his way, didn't he? He united all of Israel together. And he went to him and told him about this little ewe lamb, told him, gave him the parable. David's got mad, temper flew up, and he said, well, whoever done that, you tell me who it is, I'll take care of him, and I'll kill him, I'll get rid of him. You imagine what went through Nathan's mind. He's talking to a sovereign king. But he had to turn around and say to me, you're the man.
Right.
And David had to repent. Listen, maybe people here in this room right now need repentance.
Right.
Maybe you need your heart pierced. Maybe we need to have our hearts pierced a little bit today. We need to look to him who is the author of comfort and grace and salvation to all of us. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 51, will you please? And I want to show you. David not only had a pierced heart, but folks, I got to tell you, he had a broken heart.
Amen.
And his will was broken, and he became like a groveling person down in the dirt. This 51st Psalm is a psalm that every Christian, Baptist Christian in the world needs to read.
Amen.
And we need to preach it from the pulpit, because people today need help. These are strenuous times, mentally and spiritually, on the people of God.
Amen.
You know what? Our duty, brethren, here is to lift up the cross of Jesus Christ and lift up His wonderful name and tell of all of His grand and glorious accomplishments. And He had many of them, and He did it for you and me. But old David here begins in Psalm 51, verse 1. He went to the temple, I suppose, and sung, or went to the tabernacle and sung this song. I guess he did, because that's what the Psalms are, the Psalms.
Yeah.
And he said, "There, have mercy upon me." You know what? If you're going to plead with the Lord, what do you plead?
Mercy.
Lord, you know that I haven't been too bad. I've done pretty good. No, you can't plead that. You got to plead for what you can get, and that's mercy.
Amen.
And my Savior is full of tender mercy.
Right.
He has a merciful heart.
Yeah.
And He's probably spoken to your heart many times.
Amen.
I have a little story to relate to you of two men. Two men that I dealt with at Rollinsburg Baptist Church. In the 52 years that I've been there, two men stands out great in my heart. I've taken an awful lot of thought of Psalm 51 and used it extensively with these two brethren. One was a Navy man. I don't think he was a career Navy man, but he'd been in the Navy and been in the Second World War. Sailed in the South Pacific in the Second World War and fought in that war there. And he told me one day when I was talking to him, I didn't even know he was a Christian. You wouldn't have known if you'd went up and talked to him and said, "Boy, he's really bad. He's really a sinner." And he said, "Preacher, I'm sure glad you came by."
Amen.
He said, "You came by because I don't know what to do." And he said, "I'm dying. I'm not going to live." And he said, "If I don't get some relief here before long, I can't stand to live anymore." He walked away from God. And I got to questioning him. I knew his daddy really well. As a matter of fact, his daddy was a Baptist preacher. And why he didn't go to his daddy, I don't know. But he told me, he said, "You've got to help me because I can't make it. I'm going to die. Can't live like this." So I started talking to him, and he said, "I've become so hateful." I decided right then that a backslidden Christian probably is the hatefulest person on earth.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
You know what? You need that throne of grace. We need to go there often to the throne. Amen?
Amen.
There's relief at the throne.
Amen.
He died to help us, and He saved us from our sins. And if we get wrong with Him, there comes a time when we need genuine repentance in our hearts.
Yep.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you know any time that repentance ever failed?
No.
I've read the Bible many times, and I know you have too, and every time somebody repented, it worked.
Amen.
And it always works. It even worked for old wicked Nineveh.
Yeah.
They repented and existed for another 150 years.
Right.
And they didn't deserve to exist for 150 years. They were really vile. They were terrible. What I've read about them, they were terrible. But David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And he was crying out for the one thing that God is liberal with.
Amen.
God is not stingy with His mercy.
Amen.
He is a merciful God.
Amen.
Hey, my man, woman, boy and girl, you're here today because of His mercy.
Amen.
And you can go home to your homes and go in the pantry and find plenty of food. And you've got good cars and good houses to live in. God is so good and merciful.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Boy, he's blessed us in so many ways.
Amen.
I grumble. I get sick of myself when I start grumbling about something in life because he's greater than all things in our life. But anyway, I'm telling you about the sailor. He said, I don't think I can be forgiven. And we started talking and we started reading the scripture and we went to the 51st Psalm. And I said, here's a king, a sovereign king, a man after God's own heart. And look what he did. He backslid. He went completely back. And he done so many wrong things and God came down. Oh, God always comes down.
Yes.
In your life, you never have to worry. He's going to visit you if you get wrong. He'll break that old cold heart and he'll take away that stubborn spirit and he'll make you love him with all, with all of your heart. Yes, he will.
Right.
And then anyhow, we kept talking and so on and so forth, and so he began to repent. And we sat there side by side and wept and repented. He repented. Got him in the church and ordained him a deacon. He served the Lord faithfully until he died of cancer several years after that. But he was like David. He said, I got so far away, I doubted that I was ever saved. And I was so far gone. There's hope.
That's right.
Man, we have hope.
That's right.
We have lots of hope. Of all people on this earth, we have hope.
Right.
You know, Jesus spoke to us in it. Let not your heart be troubled. You see, he said for us to take good care of our hearts, didn't he? For out of the heart is the issues of life. Isn't that wonderful? Not only is it wicked and vile, but boy, the good things come out of the heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. David complains to the Lord here. I'm just going backwards and forwards, but he complained to him, or rather he's saying here, to thy, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Yes.
My sailor said, I can't stand these sins anymore.
Amen.
It's got me down. I'm dying. I tell you what, God is able to help, and God is able to give us grace and strength.
Right.
We have hope above all others. We even have a blessed hope, don't we?
Amen.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You realize that one of these days, all the things that's bothering you and worrying you and troubling you and causing you distress right now is going to vanish. When he comes, it'll all be gone.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Be no more of that. And then David begins his plea with the Lord. And here's a king, a sovereign king, a king of the nation of Israel. And he begins to talk to him. And he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Yeah.
And the sailor said, I can't be cleansed. It's too far gone. I've gone too far. I've drifted too far away from the shore. I'm done. I'm finished. Well, David said, I acknowledge my war. There's the thing. I acknowledge my transgressions.
Amen.
And he was like the sailor. My sins are ever before me. Against thee, why, he sinned against Uriah, David did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sinned against a lot of people. But then he came back and said, against thee and thee only, if I sinned. And done this evil in thy sight. Nathan was a good prophet. Nathan took him the truth. And when he heard Nathan speak, it broke his heart. He never thought about taking the sword and taking Nathan's life. He thought, boy, I've got to get right with God. I'm dying here in my sin. There's got to be a time of repentance.
Right.
Baptist churches need to repent this day and time because they're drifting away from the things of God.
Amen.
We need to get back to the old paths. I'm not interested in a new and living way. I'm interested in that new and living way, but one that men imagine for themselves. I want to know the old paths. The gospel still has the same effect right now as it did when Jesus gave it to us. Still does the same work. It sure does. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be just when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Bring it on, Lord. Come on me what I need, what I deserve. That's what he was acknowledging here. So you have to give up old pride. John was talking about pride. Pride's a terrible thing. Pride will ruin your life. Yeah. Pride goeth before destruction and the Holy Spirit before fall.
Right.
Pride will always make you fall, but humbleness will exalt you.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Sure will. Bring you up. And he said to David, then said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me, and they depart from the womb speaking lies. Redemption has to be for sinners. And the Lord saves sinners.
Right.
I've witnessed in my lifetime to a lot of sinners. People I knew and people I didn't know, and I know you have too. But you got to carry the message. There's no end to this work.
That's right.
There's nowhere to stop. It goes on and on and on and on. This is the wonderful works of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you another part of this story. Somebody, Brother Teddy, I figured, knew this man. He was an engineer on the railroad. He was I guess. Any lilies in here? He was a lily. You can go to Beckley and every other person is a lily. You can hardly be wrong if you say, how are you, Miss Lily? I took a fellow one time over to Sears Roebuck. He'd ordered some appliances and he said, can we get your truck? All my appliances on, and we went over and there's three women standing at a little table or a little podium. And I said, Ryan, I'm just sure one of those women is Lily. He said, nah, they're not a Lily. I said, I almost bet you, if I was a betting man, I could bet you one of them is Lily. So he said, well, I'm going to find out. He went over and he said, you look familiar to me. What's your name? And she said, Miss Lily. Looked at the other girl and said, what's your name? She said, I'm her daughter. So she was Miss Lily. And he asked the other woman, said, I'm her sister. So all three of them were lilies. There's a lot of lilies in Beckley. There really is. But I tell you, Tom Lily was an awful good man. He was a deacon, and he was an engineer for the CFO. His job was to load, separate cars or something in the lot down there and move them around and get them ready for the road to take out. And he got to miss a church. I went to see him. And I had to almost beg his wife to tell me when he'd be home, when he was getting off. And finally she told me and I went over to see him. Boy, he said, I don't know, I've just been really busy and I haven't had time and this, that, and the other. And but I kept going back to his house. He hated to see me coming, I think, maybe, but anyhow, one day he called me and he said, he called me off the tracks down in Hinton and he said, preacher, I'm dying. And I said, what's the matter, Tom? What do you mean you're dying? He said, I've been so far out of fellowship with God that God's going to kill me. I'll never make it home. And I said, yeah, you will. And I went over to his house and, boy, you're talking about a prayer meeting. Hey, you talk about weeping. We prayed together, and Tom Lily dedicated his life to the Lord there in his living room. And when he died in the Veterans Hospital in Beckley with cancer, killed him. He took him away from here. But his brother called me 2:30 in the morning. He called me and said, Tom's dying. He can't live. They've given him up. And he's asking for you to come over. And I got in my car, and it was in the winter time. And I don't know if you've been on 64, that long bridge out there on 64. I'm not sure what that bridge is called, but it's almost as long as the Gorge Bridge, almost. But it was in the winter time, and it had been sleeting and raining and so on and so forth, but the road was dry, perfectly dry. And I was driving about 85 miles an hour going over to the Veterans Hospital to see him. And when I hit that bridge, there's about that much ice, solid ice on it. And God is my witness. I just let off on the pedal and I never touched the thing. I never slid. I mean, it just went right on across.
Amen.
Like it was driving. And I got there and Tom was dead when I got to the hospital. But he dedicated his life and he said, I want you to pray for me because I'll never do another trick like this. Get away from the Lord. And of course we did, and I'm looking, really looking forward to seeing him, Teddy. I'll see him one of these days.
That's right.
When I get to heaven, one of these days I'll see him up there. And it will be a joy to be with him again.
Amen.
He had his heart pierced. The Holy Spirit came into his heart.
Amen.
He really dedicated his life. And you know, I'm just led by the Spirit, I think, here. To say there may be somebody here that needs rededication of your life.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not anything to be, it is thing to be ashamed of, but not before you, the folks here.
That's right.
Not a person in here but what's subject to
right.
These old wicked natures that we have. No wicked nature is the same as it was when I was born.
Yeah.
But Jesus saved me. I'm ready for heaven. I'm ready to go. And I'll be glad when I can draw my last breath. I tell you, that's fact. David prayed to the Lord then to finish his message out. It's kind of been broken, and I don't apologize for it. But he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be as white as snow. Boy, if I could see here a pleading heart, that's it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he pleading there? Wash me. Cleanse me. And he said, hide your face. Hide your face, Lord. Turn your eyes away. Don't look. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Take them away from me. Hide your face from me. You know, if he'd known theology like Brother Jeff and Brother Tom and Brother Sean back there, he would know his sins were forgiven. They were gone. He just needed to repent and get his life right, really.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Actually, it's what he needed. Create a clean heart in me. And this is the last verse I'm reading out here. You think of this. Here's what Baptist churches need now. We need it over Rollinsburg. We've got one of the greatest themes coming up in the Bible conference this year. And a lot of speakers. And I've been praying, Bobby and me and some of the rest of us over there have been praying that God will impress upon the hearts of every speaker. To come there and preach with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind before the people, that we might experience a great time of fellowship with the Lord. Because here's what we need. Here's what David needed. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
I won't tell another story, but I won't. Take you too much time here. Then, he said, restore me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted.
Amen.
there's an absence of sinners being converted today.
Right.
Would you agree?
Amen.
Listen, when I was a young fellow, before I was ever saved, we would go to prayer meetings at Unity Baptist Church. Our brother Minnie is a pastor over there. We would go there and have a prayer meeting, and somebody would just read something out of the Bible, and somebody would pray, maybe have two or three prayers. I've seen sinners saved on Wednesday night service in the church. I was at Bender's Run one time, and a young boy came forward and made a profession of faith in the Lord, and preacher was up there talking about him being saved and said, "We'll have to make arrangements for you to be baptized. You need to become a member of the church." He said, "You will? Do you want to be baptized?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, when?" And he said, "Right now." It was dark. And a little creek coming down, and so they went down and worked on the creek till they got enough water and pulled all the trucks up till the headlights were all in the whole water. And at 9:30 at night, that boy was baptized. But somebody said that was the good old days. We need those days now. We need new life. We need repentance. We need our hearts broken and pierced. Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. I'll wait for you to get up.